Welcome to the debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here. I'm sitting in my car, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing any gigs because of this virus. Look, I thought I'd just check in with a few of the regulars on the podcast. See how they're going, because for comedians, a lot of us rely on live work, and all the gigs have been cancelled. Of course, it's nothing compared to what nurses and doctors and the ambos and the checkout people are copping at Bunnings and Coles and Woolies. My heart goes out to them, because they're on the front line, whereas comics are like a superfluous kind of thing, aren't they? They're like buskers or strippers. They're just part of the side damage, really. But I thought I'd just check in with a few of the regulars and see how they're going in their self-isolation. Okay, I find it very hard to say those two words, just self-isolation. So I'm going to talk to Dilrik J. Singer, the great man, Brett Oakes, the most regular participant on this podcast. But let's start off with an absolute cracker, former radio colleague of mine, Denise Scott. Let's give Denise Scott a call and check in.
Hi.
Oh, Denise Scott, it's Dave O'Neill. How are you?
Look, as good as can be expected, Dave.
Yeah.
are we on?
We're on. Yeah, sorry, we're on. Yeah, we're on. I know. I hate it. Sometimes you do interviews with Perth radio stations, and you're chatting, and then you realise that you're on. Dave, have you done those interviews where you're like, "Are we on? I don't know what's going on." So very rude of me. We are on, Denise Scott.
Oh, we are sure on. Then I'll amp it up a bit.
No, you don't have to amp it up.
I'm going all right. I just posted. Then I've become really quite keen on Twitter. I know it's old fashioned.
No, I'm on Twitter. Yeah.
So my latest one was John walking past me in the kitchen, talking into his phone, going, "This is a message for Sharon. I'm inviting you to," and then he walked out the back door, and I'm like, "Who's Sharon?
Yeah.
Who's he inviting her to? What's going on?"
I've been very entertained by your posts on Twitter, and they often involve John, that you're having an argument or a discussion the other night, then you couldn't remember what you were arguing about. You think it was potatoes? I think it was potatoes?
It was. Yes, it was potatoes. Well, and he literally said, because I wrote it down, "I'm calm down," which is always a good thing to say.
I've stopped saying that to Karen, my partner, because she has told me, "Do not say calm down. Do not say relax."
No, that's good advice from Karen. John said, "Yeah."
Or you're being hysterical. That's a bad one.
Oh, that's
okay.
Snap. But John doesn't learn. He learns for a minute and then he forgets.
Yeah.
So he's like, "Scotty, calm down. I'm just agreeing with the response you've given to my suggestion." Now, what does that mean? And
that seems like a bureaucrat. He's like a bureaucrat.
Yeah. Yeah, he went to Scotch College. Don't you worry about that. Yeah. And at these times of crisis, it seems to come out. So then I'm like, "What are you talking about? What was your suggestion? What was my response?" And he couldn't answer that. Neither of us could remember. We were really full on arguing. And then we seriously did think it was probably about the potatoes and if we needed to buy more.
Yeah.
It was, these things matter.
I know. Well, cooking's become a big thing in our house.
Same. What are you cooking?
Well, we do a weekly shop, and then Kieran gets fruit and vegetables delivered.
Mm.
But like today, we've got no bread. Bread's finished until Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So I made some bread out of flour and yogurt. You can make. I read it in Matt Preston's cookbook, which is actually a very good recipe. It's just bread and yogurt. Mix it up, flatten it out, and fry it in a fry pan. It's like pita bread. It's beautiful.
Oh my God, you've got to post that recipe.
Yeah, that was a really good easy lunch with a bit of tomato and tuna. But So have you stocked up or?
Yeah, we're stocked up for a lockdown.
Yeah.
But you know how you don't use your lockdown stuff till you're absolutely locked down?
Kieran keeps saying that. Do not use those frozen pasties. They're for the lockdown. Well, aren't we locked down?
I know. I have to keep explaining that to John too. No, you don't use that jar of tomato stuff. That's for the lockdown. We've had our daughter, Bonnie, she got out of New York just before the lockdown.
Again, I've read it on Twitter and you made her a cake.
Oh, the cake was a disaster. Yeah. And I'm usually good with cakes, usually good. There was no, what was it? There was no flour and no sugar.
Oh, so what was it? Eggs and?
Oh, I don't know what it was. It was just a disaster. And as I said on Twitter, I used it to wipe my ass because it had the texture of cardboard. It was dreadful. But no, so we've been, she's a walking distance Airbnb-ing around the corner.
Right.
And so we drop off food and stand quite some distance.
Yeah, right, okay.
But yeah, she's quietly going insane. But she's only got a few more days now. She's well.
Yeah, well, that's good. Oh, so she had the 14 days back from America. Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. Of course I get it.
And New York too.
New York, which has had I read yesterday 1,000 people have died in New York.
Yeah.
It's really bad. Were you doing? I mean, how has your life changed? Has it changed that much? Or because I mean, Glenn Robbins says my life hasn't changed that much. So.
No. To be honest, I'm very used to being at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And very used to kind of not being that into work.
You had a period where you told me what you were lying on your bed a lot, knitting.
Mm.
Yeah.
The irony is that I'm up and off the bed.
Yeah.
It's been a miracle. I'm up and off the bed. I've got tins of tuna to buy, to panic about. And now I'm gardening.
That's a good thing to do. I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, I'm out gardening and arguing with John. That takes energy.
That's a sport, yeah.
Yeah. and cooking.
Yes.
Baking biscuits.
Because you had a very big year last year. That was your Dancing with the Stars year, wasn't it, last year?
Oh, don't. You asshole. You know how hurtful it is to talk about that.
Oh, yeah, because Celia just won it.
Celia, I know.
Well, good on
and
her.
I'm a fan of the show, so I watched it. It was great.
Yeah.
Oh, man, she was good. But let's not go on about that much. No, but she was brilliant. The show was brilliant.
But you did last year.
Yeah, I know I did last year. I know. But I went so appallingly that, it's triggering.
Yeah, but
it's a triggering.
Oh, it's a trigger, sorry. But I just thought they embraced you and you were end up co-hosting several episodes.
Well, that's the twist to the story.
Yes.
And, it's a weird thing. You know, because you assume you try hard, you do your best, you're going to succeed. But I tried hard, I did my best, failed spectacularly.
Yeah, right.
But then got invited back to co-host with Amanda Keller when Grant did his back, Grant Denyer did his back, or so they say.
Yeah, we don't know.
I tripped him downstairs. But so, swings and roundabouts.
So what I'm saying is that you deserve a bit of a year off, but I know you were getting back into gigs and stuff just before the virus hit because I saw you about a month ago. Yeah.
Yeah, I just made the decision, all right, how you sort of keep hoping that some amazing job's going to come along?
Well, we all hope for a TV series written for us by someone else.
Yeah.
Or a movie, and they ring up and they go, Dave, we've always loved you. We've decided not to contact you during development, Denise, the show is up. You can start on Monday. It's about you. This sounds that's what we hope for.
Yeah.
But
of course it never happens.
No.
So I was starting to do live gigs again and enjoying it. I was really enjoying it, and then because I was going to do your room.
Yes.
And then and then it's all
gone.
Put on hold.
Yes, postponed.
So, I've been pretty lucky though, really, because I had travel guides. I narrate for the show on Channel 9 called Travel Guides, and that just finished.
Oh, that's good.
Just just before, you know, all the lockdown stuff happened. So yeah, it's, you know, I can't complain.
No.
Oh, well, I can. Yeah. I like complaining.
Everyone complains, so I wouldn't worry about that.
What about your kids? What are they?
Oh, they're okay. So they're what? How old are they? 11, 13, and 16. So.
Oh, my God. What a nightmare.
Yeah, not a nightmare. So the 11-year-old still wants to go out and play. So we go bike rides. And Kitty, my daughter's 13, she likes to get out and kick the footy. And the 16-year-old just argues constantly about wanting to play computer games. And we don't let him. So.
Oh, you're all hippie. And...
Yeah, we're like you were, you know. And...
Oh, not when they were 16. We'd completely lost grip by then.
Well,
we're well and truly gone.
I always say Kieran is a bit like an Amish person, and now we've become even more Amish sitting around. Because I'm used to going out. Now I've spent a lot. We started watching The Crown together.
Oh, how good is it?
It's good. Yeah, I like it. It's really good. But we're spending time as a couple more, so there could be a divorce on the horizon. You never know.
Or a baby. John and I.
That would be
John,
a corona miracle.
Yeah. John and I actually spooned the other night. I haven't done it for years because his shoulder's stuffed.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And my ankles and knees are stuffed, so we don't ever, you know, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Get away. It's a meter and a half. That's, well, she doesn't even hug me anymore. She's worried about getting the virus off me. So, anyway.
Yeah.
It's challenging times.
It really is. And keeping, you know, the 1.5 meters. And,
I know. And there's always, anyway. There's always someone at the supermarket. I only go to the supermarket once a week. There's always someone that wants to get too close to you. It's like, keep away.
Anyway. I know. How weird is that?
I know. I don't know. People don't watch the news. I don't know what's going on. Well, Denise, always good to talk to you, and it's good to check in. And people will be rapt that you're doing okay. And say hi to John. Don't murder him. All right? Don't.
No. You can imagine how hard that is. He's had some theories.
Yeah.
He's had some theories about chicken broth killing the virus, and it's like, oh, and he got slammed on Facebook because he put it up.
Oh, really?
Chicken broth kills the coronavirus. I'm going, John, where did you hear that? He goes, oh, no, I got it in my Messenger. I'm like, yeah, we're all getting bullshit on a Messenger, Facebook Messenger, John. No, up it goes. And he made so much chicken broth.
Oh, really?
Like,
I made it the other night, but I didn't claim that it was going to fix you.
No. John takes it all away.
I found that the guys deliver the parcels. This guy was delivering parcels, and he said to Kieran, it's all a CNN conspiracy, as he handed over the parcels.
Oh, God. Jeez.
A CNN conspiracy. Anyway. They've got to believe what they believe. Hey, thanks, Denise, and I'll speak to you soon.
And love to your family, Dave O'Neill.
Yeah, so to John and Bonnie. And where's your son? Where's he?
Oh, Geordie and Claire are in Nashville.
Right, yeah.
And they've just been through the big tornado there.
Oh.
So they're they were in, you know, post trauma from that.
Yeah.
Like the tornado came down their street. We're talking like full on. And they're back in their house. Their house was all right, but there was shocking, full on tornado. People died, lots of homes destroyed. Anyway, they went. It wasn't a baby, but they got a puppy.
Oh.
So now they're in
house
they're,
with
they're
a puppy. Yeah, right.
In Nashville. So they're bunkered down in Nashville.
Oh, okay.
But no gigs.
No, no.
Musos.
Musos bad, like comedians. Oh, well. It's all postponed, as you said. It's postponed. So,
yeah. We'll be back. And
we'll be back one day. Anyway, thanks, Denise.
Okay, see you, Dave. Wait.
And just checking in with Brad Oakes. He's one of the most regular contributors on the podcast. How are you, Brad?
I'm good, Dave. I'm good. I'm outside. I'm in the back of your car.
Yeah, is that where you are? I'm sitting in my car. Oh, my God.
Normally.
But you're probably in my other car. This is my other car. Anyway.
Ooh, what a humble brag. Oh, who's got two cars? Well, good on you.
Oh, well, you should see this car. It's not a very good one, but anyway, it's a small Golf. You've been in this one, the Golf.
I've been in the Golf, yeah. Yeah, it's always disappointing when you rock up in the golf.
Yeah. Well, I've got a golf wagon, and I've got this one, the little golf.
Yeah. Yeah, no, whenever you turn up at that, I get, we're in for a rattling ride.
Yeah, it is a bit rattling. And so how are you handling the self-isolation? How are you handling it?
Self-isolation.
That's what I'm trying to say, self-isolation.
Yeah, I'm handling it quite well. I'm built for this, Dave. You know, I haven't lived with anybody for over a quarter of a century.
Well, you live by yourself, don't you?
I do. I realised, like, when I first started out in comedy, and I lived with people. Like, I thought, you know, people were really hard to live with, and then one day I realised it was me.
Oh, it was you.
It was me. Yeah, I'm perhaps a trifle too over-designed for people. So anyway, I've been ready for this. You know, it's like I've been practicing all my life.
And, yeah, you're like a prepper without the bunker kind of thing.
I have indeed. That's right.
And of course, you worked a lot on cruise ships, and now cruise ships, I noticed a few of the comics are really up in arms, a few of the real cruise ship comics, about how cruise ships are copping a bad rap. And they're saying, like, the project know nothing about cruise ships, apparently, or current affair. But are they, are they places that can, a disease can, or a virus or whatever can spread rapidly, can't it?
To be fair, like, you get out of Lawn every year.
Yeah.
By the way, if you ever want to find Dave, that's where you're
I'll be at Lawn, yeah. Only for about 4 days, though, because it's quite expensive. That's all I can afford. But anyway, go on.
But diseases rip through holiday resorts as well.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
In the warmer months, you don't normally get the cold virus and stuff like that. But you know, it's anywhere people go. Like, they rip through nightclubs and so on. And I think that what it is that it's very obvious that people are sick and disembarking, and so people are just like.
Yeah, you're right. So in a normal resort, you would just drive away and no one would know. And there's no doctors. Where there are doctors on board, aren't there? And nurses.
Oh, they are. But, my experience of them is they're not very good. Like, when I was working on a cruise ship once, I contracted this. I had this thing called mal de mer, which translates to sickness of the sea.
Yeah.
But it's not sickness. What happened was my middle ear equilibrium just deserted me, and I just kept, falling over.
Oh.
The ship's doctor had never heard of it.
Did he go to uni?
I found it on Google.
Have you, but it must be hard. You're similar to me. You would do quite a few gigs a week, and that's how you make your living. How are you coping with that, going out?
Just before I said that, the one thing I wanted to point out, is that we do have a propensity in Australia. We're a liking for not letting anybody back into the country if they're on a boat.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. So then this is ready-made for it. Like, even people are turning away their own relatives. Going, no, get out.
Get off. Get away. But how are you coping with not doing gigs?
I'm a little bit worried about it. I mean, quite apart from the fact that I'm not earning any money.
Yeah.
You know, in the last 30-odd years, I haven't... I would not have gone 2 weeks without doing a gig.
Yeah, right.
You know, like... some of the things I've been through, and I've still...
Yeah, we had a heart attack. So how long did you have off? Did you have a couple of months off when you had a heart attack?
No. I think it was 10 days.
Like, 10 days? That's remarkable.
I was in hospital for 3 days, and then I'm out, and I'm just I had to get out. Well, that's another thing I suppose too about living by yourself, that you want to do gigs because that's your only interaction with people.
Yeah.
And they have to shut up and listen. And I didn't have a really bad heart attack. I had like a junior heart attack, I suppose. We didn't even rush to hospital.
No, you just drove leisurely, or
I thought it was a bit leisurely, and I I didn't mention that I felt they'd gone the wrong way.
Yeah, that's annoying and, for the ambo.
the guy in the back looked at me like, well, that's probably why you had a heart attack, mate, because you're you think you're on top of everything. And, I'm in an ambulance, so I'm treating it like an Uber. You know, well, 3 stars for you.
It was only 10 days off. Wow.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not going to get back out there. I'm scared, you know. I don't want to atrophy my comedy muscle.
Yeah, the muscle. That's right. You got to keep getting up and doing gigs. We've all seen people who've had it like 10 years off and come back, and it's never pretty, is it? It takes a long time.
Exactly. It's a bit like watching people break into Sharpie dancing.
Oh yeah. I enjoy that, but
but you look at it, how was that ever a thing?
Well,
you know?
Yeah, I know, but it was. It was a product of the time. You haven't been tempted by any doing virtual performances? Because I know some of our colleagues, you know, there's people playing guitars, there's people singing alongs. I think it was Cam Knight had his shirt off playing guitar.
I wouldn't have my shirt off for a start because, you know, there'd be protests.
Yeah.
I've had quite a Facebook presence. You know my bike got nicked.
I know your bike got stolen because I'm on Facebook with you. Yeah.
Somebody came into our units and looked under the stairs and pinched my bike, and it's just that was me just all indignant yesterday.
That's a low act. Well, that's what Facebook's for, to get angry, and then people to get angry for you and try and help you, but not actually do anything, just say words on the internet.
People have offered me bikes.
Oh, that's good.
Although a couple of people fat-shamed me on there as well, too. Yeah. I saw that. Somebody's gone, oh, yeah, like, you'd have a bike. And if I had a bike, I'd ride around.
That was me.
But,
The internet. Yeah, good stuff.
But, yeah, Pierre Emery, don't you?
Pierre Emery, Ted Emery's daughter, the great director, and Pierre works in show business too, doesn't she? Or she used to.
She's a lovely person. She just sent me a photo of a bike was just chained up mysteriously in Portland Street, which I presume is South Yarra, just around the corner from me, and asked me if it was mine.
Whoa.
But there's people out there looking at it, and also people are saying that everybody's bike's getting stolen. So
yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
You know, it's just like, if I was the cops now, if I saw anybody on a bike, I'd pull them over and just go, is this yours?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Hard to establish whether it's yours or not, because there's no papers with a bike.
Well, I know, but
You need pads on it with your name, Oaksy. Is that Oaksy's bike?
Well, I know, but you've only got to watch somebody get on a bike to know whether or not
it's their bike. Or in the old day, in the BMX days, we used to have like a sort of a number at the front on a bit of plastic. 45, Brad Oaks. That's not your mongoose, mate.
but that's when the cops, because I reported to the cops only because, not because I think I'm going to get it back, because somebody came on the premises. I think that's dangerous. But when they were asking me about any distinguishing features, and I ummed and ahed, and I couldn't tell them about the card I had in the spokes.
Yeah, your raw power on the panel. Yeah.
How old are you, mate?
So with all this downtime, are you going to take the time to create something amazing? Because people have been saying on the internet, Facebook, that, who was it? The law of relativity was come up when Isaac Newton was bored.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, when he was, and when Shakespeare was isolated because of the play, he wrote King Lear or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know,
he had better ones. Yeah, yeah.
He wrote Julius Caesar after a buck tooth. So come on, you know.
I know. There's got to be a lot of comics. It's like every time the Herald Sun lay off people, someone put this on the internet. Oh, great. Another 100 books by ex-Herald Sun journalists, you know. Like, so I reckon there's going to be a lot of comedians going, yeah, this is the time I can write my book, my life story, you know, or all that script.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to, when we start doing shows again, we're going to have to put disclaimers there, like promise not to talk about my self-isolation.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, corona jokes, yeah.
I know. It's just, oh, God, I'm just...
There's plenty of examples of people that spent a lot of time in prison and didn't do much, like Nelson Mandela was in how many years? 30? 30?
Hang on.
What did he do? Free Nelson Mandela by the Specials. Special AKA, I love that song.
That tells you how many years he was in.
Free Nelson Mandela. 21 years. 21 years. But he didn't...
AMC... You're so blind, you cannot see.
I said free. Yeah, but that song didn't actually, I mean, it worked eventually, but it didn't work immediately. You know what I mean? Like the F.W. de Klerk didn't turn on his alternative radio station and go, hey, have you heard this song by The Specials, eh? It's well, it's not The Specials. It's one of the guys from The Specials. It's the keyboardist.
Yeah, but I think it was Pink Botha, wasn't it?
Oh, it was Pink Botha, not F.W. de Klerk was after him, wasn't he? He was after him, yeah.
Or did he write a geography textbook? I don't know, but... And what's his name? Remember Bob Dylan did The Story of Hurricane?
Yeah. Oh, and, yes.
He got him out of jail and then he got him back in again.
Yeah.
Apparently he did do it.
Yeah, yeah. And Rudolf Hess, the Nazi who flew to Scotland to form a treaty with Churchill and then was just promptly arrested by Olivia Newton-John's dad, was one of the arresting officers. There's a bit of trivia for you, Brad. And he was one of the interviewing officers because he was an expert in German culture. Yeah. Yeah, and so he got locked up in Spanner prison for like at least 30 years. What did he do?
I think you said before, though, that your theory was that he was working on Spandau Ballet.
Spandau Ballet. He formed Spandau Ballet over the internet. That's right.
Yeah. His lesser known work, the Spandau Opera.
Oh, the Spandau Opera. Yes.
Yeah. But, actually, John the Baptist wrote some of the most beautiful poetry in the world, didn't he? And he was I believe he was imprisoned in a cell that he couldn't stand up or lie down in.
That's kind of hard work, isn't it? You couldn't stand up. That's a very small room.
For a claustrophobic like me, I can't even think of that without shuddering.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, God, it's just... Yeah, maybe delete.
Yeah. Well, I better go. I'll be in touch, but it's good to hear you going okay.
Yeah, you too, man. You too.
Because you are one of the most regular guests on the podcast. And, in fact, Will Anderson... gave you a shout out on Twitter the other day saying that he always looks forward to when you're on. So he'll be wrapped with this, mate. He'll be wrapped.
Well, great. Well, let's give Will a shout out too. Shout out to Will Anderson there. And, I hope he's getting through it all right.
Yeah, I know. Because he looks like the sort of guy that's got a lot of energy. So I assume he can go a lot of walks. But then again, he's got bad hips, so maybe he can't walk.
Well, I've been doing a little bit of home renovation. I put in a skylight, but of course. The people in the flat upstairs aren't very happy. Boop, boop.
Leave them laughing, Brad. Leave them laughing.
All right, mate.
Thanks, Ogies. Right. Hello.
Oh, there he is, Father of the Year.
Durek J. Singer.
So much clearer. So much clearer.
Well, this is... Yeah, you do it on... I'm doing it on Facebook, this podcast. Sorry. Yeah. What is it? FaceTime. Sorry. Yeah. Facebook.
That's classic Generation XXL, man.
Yeah. Oh, Dad. you mentioned the name of my show, which I know a lot of people were very sad about the virus, but I was relieved when the virus turned up because I didn't have to do my unprepared festival show, do
I? I told you how much I enjoyed the promo video of you saying, I'm not a millennial, I'm not baby boomer. Yes. And then you couldn't find the way to swatch off the button. Yes. The camera off. I loved it.
That proves that you are a boomer, you idiot. Or dad. Yeah. Well, now, you know what happens? Because once you get teenagers, they do everything for you, and so then you just become even more of a an idiot.
It's legal child labor. I love it.
And so, hey, you. I mean, you put a great photo of it. Was your niece in a little bouncy thing, and you said it looked like you contemplating.
Oh yeah.
It was a very was it on Twitter? It must have been Twitter.
That was my niece. That was Instagram. My niece, 4-month-year-old. She was just a video of her in a pram, and it weirdly had a hand on her chin, like she was thinking.
Yes,
but she was just staring into space for a good 20 seconds. Yeah. And I'm like, that's what I feel like right now after every source of income that I, you know, anticipated for the foreseeable future is gone. Like, you'd be the same, right? Yes. Literally, we're gig pigs, you and I. We love a gig, and now that's all gone.
Yeah, well, so, I did 4.5 gigs a week last year. So I was doing, you know, 4 to 5 gigs a week.
Right.
Now I'm not doing any. And you would be the same because I do a lot of corporates and footy clubs.
Yeah.
And, but you also do festivals where you can rack up a lot of gigs. Yeah. You can do 2 or 3 a night.
So I average about 250 to 300 gigs a year. I'm still one of those people who count all the gigs they do.
No, I did 200 last year. Yeah.
So for me, it's a real, real kick in the gut. So it's funny. I've been chatting to different people about the situation. I just spoke to Josh Hill as well about on his podcast, and me and Ben Lomas, who I do the podcast Fitbit with, we did our first recording. You know, me from my apartment, him weirdly from his car because he has to park the car near his house so he has Wi-Fi. But because his kids are around, he wanted some peace and quiet. So he's in the car as he records. Where are you recording from, by the way?
In the car, because I'm peace and quiet.
So the old parents'
trick, for sure. Yeah.
That's it. Usually you keep the kids in the car, right? And then go to the casino.
What's happening? Well, why they're in the car.
Now dad's doing a podcast in the car. How the times have changed. Yeah, so I've deferred my anxiety of career to July. I'm like, you know what? I've got a bit of savings. Let me try and just try and figure out how to not come undone completely. Because Dave, personally, like I lost a fair bit of weight a couple of years ago.
You did.
I've quit drinking. All these things that I've done in terms of positive steps in my life.
Which could easily come back.
We can easily come back, man. Like, I have a stash of booze here in my apartment that I've not cared about for the last 3 years of sobriety. But for the first time ever, I'm like, maybe I should give that away because, you know, things aren't looking very, you know, it's like a coping strategy, right?
Yeah. And so eating is the same for me. I mean, I've been getting up and walking and doing exercise, but I reckon I'm going to put on weight. But then they go, anyway, because it's just being stuck in the house.
Well, that's it, man. And because you get bored, and when you're bored, you feel like you want to eat. And it's also just I have equated eating sugar and fats to happiness somewhere in my childhood.
Oh, same here.
So for me, when I feel overwhelmed and anxious and all those things, like, ice cream is the perfect solution. And so what I've been doing, if this helps you at all, is if I do feel like those moments of wanting to give into it, I'll give myself complete 100% permission to do it. But my only rule is that it can't be 2 days in a row. So it has to, like, so you can, if you say, okay, like, you know what? I feel like chips, or today I feel like fried rice or a burger or fried chicken or whatever it is, go for it. Go nuts. But tomorrow we're back on track. So that way it doesn't become a habit. It's just a temporary set, like a small little pause in normal life, you know? Well, and weirdly enough, because I do it without any guilt now, because I'm like, you know what? Fuck, the world is so crazy right now. If you feel like having ice cream, and when I say have ice cream, I'm talking literally 1.5 liters across 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. one day. It was like I woke up in the middle of the night and I was eating gelato because that's how sad I was feeling. So yeah, it's not healthy in the long term, of course, but right now everything is so overwhelming that I'm like, go for it, just don't question it. And weirdly, because I don't question it in that time, the next day I feel better because it's like I don't feel guilty about it, because for us fatties, the problem is when you eat overeat, you feel guilty, and then when you feel guilty, you want to feel like comfort food again. You know, weirdly, it's this vicious cycle. So by nipping it in the bud by saying it's guilt-free, eat whatever the hell you want, it actually takes it away. So I'll have like a bad day and then have like 3 or 4 good days in a row, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's like that classic method. That's how you lost a lot of weight. You had cheat days, wasn't it? That was the name of one of your shows. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I have 6 days of dieting and 1 day of cheat day. So using that same principle, I'm using it for this as well. So, you know, I'll have days where like, I mean, I can't think of a day in these last 2 weeks that I haven't had a small bit of a cry here and there, because, you know, it's obviously, I think the homesickness, being away from mom and dad in Sri Lanka has been more challenging than ever before, because you're worried about their safety, but also, you know, a lot of my life here in Australia, it makes sense because I have, you know, hundreds of people to perform to at night or hanging out with, you know, the comedy mates. Like I'm lucky enough to get to hang out with the funniest people in Australia. So all of a sudden that's all taken away. Mm. I've got no, Dave, I've got no Tinder.
Yeah. Is Tinder gone? Is Tinder down?
Well, I had a crack. Like, I just had a look and see what was happening there. And like, you know, I just, what do you even say? Do you want to catch a cup, go grab a cup of coffee? Or,
yeah.
What do you
do? 6 feet away. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Look, I'm not that long, you know, I'm not that well blessed to be able to be away from someone 6 feet. But you know, all those usual coping strategies are gone. Or even something as simple as going for a run. You know, I really started enjoying my running.
Yeah,
and that's
did.
Something that I have to do sporadically. You know, I'm giving myself about 3 or 4 runs a week, whereas, you know, in the past I just have that option if I needed it, you know.
Yeah. Well, can you still run?
Yeah. I still do my little bits of running, but it's just, you know, like with a mask and bloody gloves and all that sort of stuff, you know. But I still have to do it, man, because it's one thing to be in contact with a lot of people online, like over the phone and stuff. I mean, that's one of the silver linings, is that I've been speaking to mom and dad and my brother for like extended.
Yeah.
But like the human contact, believe it or not, is, it's really, really vital. Like if the fact that you just don't see anybody at all, like physically.
Yeah,
and not even
weird.
In like a, not in
you
a,
live
not
in a city, a, don't you? In a flat, so
yeah. So I get to see. I've been loving my view of Melbourne over the last 3 years, and all of a sudden I look down and it's just dead.
Yeah,
and it's just scary. It's just this eerie feeling, man.
Very eerie. Well, it's just sort of, I live in the suburbs, really, and I can see people now sitting in the car. There's an Uber Eats. There's a courier looking for a house. You see a lot of couriers out here. That's about it.
Yeah,
and then people with kids. You see walking. We go for a walk and stuff. But
That's how is it for you with the kids? Are they so they would get it? I guess they're all at the age of understanding what's happening.
Yeah, they're 11, 13, and 16. Yeah, they're fine. They just fight a bit. Fight a lot.
Are they scared at all?
No, actually, I think the youngest one, because it's you know, he doesn't really teenagers. The teenagers are sort of too self-involved. You know what I mean? Like, does it affect?
Uh-huh,
their, like my daughter's loving it because it's like a holiday. So she didn't have to go to school for a week. So she's loving it.
Yeah,
But the little one, maybe he's sort of wondering what's going on. Yeah, because
he's either one that you talk about on stage,
yeah, Barney.
Who had the feelings tree.
You got a good memory. The friendship tree. The
friendship tree. The friendship tree. Yeah.
Yeah, he's exactly. The one that I call Gary sometimes.
Gary. Go on, Gary.
Gary.
Yeah, I know. I know your kids' names. I didn't know if they want to put it on the podcast, but it's Jasper, Kitty, and Barney.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're the only comic that would. I swear this comics tend to be so self-involved. Some of them wouldn't even they wouldn't know I have kids because I talk about it a lot in stand-up, but
they only know it as a joke. Do you know some of our comic friends have siblings and stuff that are on stage but they don't actually exist in real life?
Oh really?
So
they make them up.
My brother did this or my sister did that, and it's just they don't even have a sister. I know a comic who talks about it being gluten intolerant purely just so that he can
for
jokes, but he's actually fine.
Are you really are you really Sri Lankan?
Yeah, I'm Maori, actually. Man, but it's lovely. Good. Good to chat to you, man.
Good to speak to you, Dilruk. We'll see you back out there one day.
See you at the Funhouse.
The Funhouse will return. Yeah, they're renovating. That's the pub I run, the Grandview, but they're renovating. Yeah.
All that. Well, take it easy, buddy.
Thanks
now,
for talking to me.
Do people have a chance to stream the pilot show we did?
Oh, yeah,
now,
Dave. We did
where can they see it?
It's actually on my website. If you go to daveoneil.com.au, there is a link, very obvious link, and you can watch the whole pile. If you didn't see it, it's My Life. It's a sitcom. Me as a stand-up, and Dilruk plays Albert, the guy in my local shop. Yeah, when you were fat.
When I was fatter, exactly. Yeah. But But it's got heaps of people like Dave Thornton, Glenn Robbins, Dave Hughes, Glenn Hickey. Emily Tahini.
Emily Tahini, and Dave Tolkien.
So now that people at home, you know, now they can just spend more time.
I've
got
to post that. You're right, I should post that. I'm going to post it. Good thinking, Good thinking.
Could have been when is this going up? Yeah.
Oh, this will go up soon. This will go up soon.
That reminds me, can I say that my Amazon Prime special is going out streaming in April, April 25th or something. So if people are listening to this, want to have a bit of an hour of my stand-up, check it out.
Oh, that's great. Well, stay sane.
You too, buddy. You too. Right. Thank you, mate. Thanks so much, buddy. Take care.